This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's an unconventional Enviro Show, and I'm one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I'm not in the studio with...
I'm unconventional Glenn Ayers.
Yes, and unconventional Glenn. As you well know, the Enviro Show is new and improved this at this point in time because we redid our blog, which was almost dark and also hard to read. So the new and improved Enviro Show is where it's always been, Enviro Show without the W.blogspot.com. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Okay, one of the most underreported news stories over the past decade concerns far-right efforts to launch a new constitutional convention in which to rewrite the U.S. Constitution to their liking. And if the Mad King's fascist redo fails, which it probably will, this will be their plan B. Lindsay Sabadosa, state rep for the 1st Hampshire District, joins us for the disturbing details and discuss her pushback bill up on Beacon Hill, H4745. Okay, here's our Enviro Show quote of the week, which is exactly in keeping with our guest and the subject that we'll be discussing about chances of there ever being a constitutional convention or Congress. Quote, "We the people are the right masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." Close quote. And that was Honest Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, well, that does fit right in to the topic that we're going to discuss for the most part. I mean, we do veer off in a few tangents, but Representative Lindsay Sabadosa is, well, as I think, well, I hope at some point in the very near future that she will be my state representative. And I think she's one of the most progressive, liberal, however you want to describe that, and, you know, really represents her constituents. You know, she happens to come from a pretty liberal area here in the Connecticut River Valley and the hill towns. And so she's great, I think. And she really is out front on this issue. So let's get into the interview with her and pay attention, folks, because no one can sleep through this. We can't be sleepwalking into catastrophe. And so we need to be paying attention and we need to take action. And, you know, that's our job right now, is to provide the resistance to what these totally corrupt, insane people are doing at the federal level. So we need to fight back at the state level and at the local level and every other level that we can. So we'll talk to you on the other side.
Okay, Enviro Show fans. One of my favorite representatives in the Massachusetts House of Representatives up there on Beacon Hill is Representative Lindsay Sabadosa of the Mass 1st Hampshire District, and the first woman to hold that office, by the way. And I know she's been getting into this situation with the right wingers trying to push a continental or constitutional convention at some point. It's in Article 5 of the Constitution. And of course, the idea is for them to turn this nation into some playground for all their strange cravings and whatnot. So, Lindsay, welcome to the Enviro Show, and do a short intro, and then let's talk about what you are discovering about this this possibility of a constitutional convention and the, you know, the details, what point they're at in trying to bring that to the fore. Okay.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for letting me join you today. It's a pleasure to be here with you. As you said, my name is Lindsay Sabadosa. I represent the First Hampshire District, which is the city of Northampton and the towns of Chesterfield, Cummington, Hatfield, Goshen, Plainfield, West Hampton, Williamsburg, and Worthington. And I'm delighted today to talk a little bit about this idea of an Article 5 convention. And that sound, it would be a constitutional convention. I think that's the official name for it. And it's called that because and Article 5 probably gives it away, but it's referring to the fifth article of the United States Constitution. And I think people are going to be forgiven for not really understanding what it is or what this means, because it is something that has never happened. We have never had a constitutional convention of the kind found in Article 5. I think the only thing that we had similar was actually when we wrote the Constitution, when we transitioned from the Articles of Confederation. And that, of course, totally changed our system of government. So Article 5 creates a way for there to be amendments to the U.S. Constitution. We know, I think, that the most common way we have amended the Constitution over the years has been for Congress to approve an amendment and then for it to go out for ratification by the states. And of course, you need two-thirds of the states to do that. However, there is a second way for an amendment to be passed. And again, this is one way that we have never experienced in the United States, and that is for the states to vote to call a constitutional convention. And you need two-thirds of the states to call such a convention. This, I think, is wise on the founders' part, that there are these two mechanisms. I think particularly in this moment where we see challenges with the federal government, their idea was we need to also give the states their own ability to do this. So it is interesting that they set forth these two paths. But what we don't actually know, especially because it's never happened, is what a constitutional convention called by the states would look like. We don't know for what purpose it would be called, who would run it, who was in charge of deciding how votes are cast. There's really no, if you go back to Article 5 in the Constitution, there are no guidelines for how that should be done. And I would argue that that makes this a particularly dangerous moment to call an Article 5 convention, because our history and civic students listening will remember that the supreme arbiters of the U.S. Constitution is the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think that we have seen that our court, again, I will say right now in this particular moment, we could make other historical arguments, but our court has really abdicated a great deal of their power. And I think Justice Jackson said it really well in one of her latest dissents, and the court basically operates by two rules. First, there are no rules, and second, whatever the administration wants, the administration gets. And so with that as sort of the backdrop of where we are historically and in this current political system, it feels really dangerous for states to be calling for a constitutional convention. However, there are many individuals who are trying to push for one. Now, some of those individuals, I will say, are very well-intentioned people. For example, there has long been an advocacy group that is trying to push for a constitutional convention to overturn Citizens United, which you may recall Citizens United was the case that effectively said companies are people and they are able to donate to political campaigns. And I would argue is one of the key moments that really spun campaign finance out of control in the United States. And it is absolutely something that should be overturned. And it is certainly an issue that merits, I would say, a constitutional amendment to ensure proper campaign financing. I would also argue, though, that calling a constitutional convention right now, where there is no guarantee that that is the issue that would be taken up, would lead to potentially dangerous issues coming forth. And in fact, we see at the moment the strongest groups, the most vocal pushing for this constitutional convention, being a lot of the right-wing Trump-supporting individuals. In fact, even in Massachusetts, we had a bill filed this session calling for a constitutional convention filed by some of our most right-wing Republican colleagues. And I think the idea is, how can we move our country via constitutional amendment into a more, if this is even possible, a more conservative position than which we currently find ourselves. So what's also important to know is that states over the years have filed what they call applications for a constitutional convention, and they file them for a plethora of reasons. They can be, we'd like a constitutional amendment because we think that public dollars should fund religious schools. We think that there should be a constitutional convention because we want to ban abortion. Some of these applications are about changes in how representation occurs. Every state, or nearly every state, I should say, has an application. Massachusetts, this may surprise your listeners, actually has many, and many of them date back to the 80s and the 70s, when our state was a very different place, certainly a more conservative place. And it was shocking to me as a legislator to find out that we've had so many applications. Now, because we haven't had a constitutional convention, obviously those applications have gone nowhere, but they are still on the books. And again, we are in a moment where the arbiter of what a constitutional convention would look like and what is sufficient to call a constitutional convention is a Supreme Court that has abdicated its responsibility to the U.S. Constitution. And I know that there may be some who disagree with that statement, but I very firmly believe our Supreme Court has abdicated that responsibility. Certainly, Congress is not standing up for the Constitution, and the president, I don't think, has ever read it. So it is imperative that we not hit two-thirds of the states with applications. And that's why in Massachusetts, I have filed legislation to withdraw or rescind all of our prior applications. I think that, first of all, we shouldn't have those applications on the books. I will say one of them is, in fact, to ban abortion, a position that the state has absolutely reversed course on. We have abortion enshrined in our state constitution. We have passed laws that are protective. We are one of the most protective states in the country. And I don't think that represents the will of the people. In fact, there has been no poll that I have seen in the Commonwealth in decades that reflect that position. So it makes a lot of sense to rescind that, because that is not what we want out in our name. That reflects the past, not the present. But in irrespective, just this idea of having the many, many applications on the books puts us one step closer to someone bringing a petition to the U.S. Supreme Court saying that we have hit the two-thirds mark, and therefore we must have a constitutional convention. And I think if we got to that place, I truly don't know what would happen. I mean, we have just today in the news, the president announcing, to the anger of his Republican colleagues in Congress, that he can unilaterally rescind more funds that Congress approved. I think that there would be an even bigger power grab by the executive branch, and it could fundamentally end, for the foreseeable future, change the structure of the United States political system. And so I think that Connecticut has moved, they have moved forward, they have rescinded their prior applications. States like Massachusetts, New York, California, Oregon, Washington, the, I guess, usual suspects, we need to do the same. And so the bill I've filed is, it's still in HD, so it's moving through the process. It's HD 4745, an act to rescind all previous calls for a federal constitutional convention. And there is a companion bill bill in the Senate. It was filed by Senator Mark, and it is our goal to try to pass this as, I don't know if we should even say as a way to oppose Trump, because it really isn't about him, although I get a lot of calls from constituents saying, do more to oppose him. I would say that this bill is really about protecting democracy, protecting our system, and trying to keep that framework there so we have something that we can, in fact, fight for.
Wow, that's a lot. We're talking with Representative Lindsay Sabadosa in the Massachusetts 1st Hampshire District. And Lindsay, I'm so glad you gave us the number of the bill. Is the Senate bill, two questions, the Senate bill have a number? Or that's one.
Yes, part. It does. And of course, I didn't have it to right in front of me, but I will share it in 2 seconds.
Okay.
And we'll link to those bills in the blog, too.
Okay, wonderful.
And the other question is this opposing legislation for the applications. Is there one in particular that people should know about?
You know, I would just say there's not necessarily one in particular. And I did allude to this. There are a number of very good, well-intentioned groups that have also filed petitions to try to move forward with an Article 5 convention. And it, interestingly, you know, when I was first elected, which was about 7 years ago, I only heard from the people who really wanted to do good things, who wanted to repeal Citizens United, who wanted to fix campaign finance reform. They were the ones saying, push for an Article 5 convention because we can do this. Over the last 7 years, though, that has shifted. And now I am really getting email saying push for an Article 5 convention from my most MAGA constituents. And I think, you know, we've seen people who have been supporting this idea, you know, on Fox News. They have been appointed to the administration. It's part of the Project 2025 playbook. So I would say at this point, it is really any bill that is calling for an Article 5 convention that should be opposed. And truthfully, I think if individuals listening want to support the legislation that I filed, it would be really helpful as they submit testimony to include in that. And I want you to actively oppose as a committee, because this will all go before election laws, any legislation that would push forward an Article 5 convention. Right. Because again, there are a few bills, and I'm not sure one rises above the others.
Right.
This really comes down to timing. And there's a good time to do some things, and there's a bad time to do some things. And this would be, in my opinion, a really bad time. So in this case, I think we all need to realize that there's a tremendous risk associated with doing something that might, when the timing was different, might be something that would have a great outcome. And this has the potential to really have a devastating outcome, because we have characters involved here who are intentionally perverting the processes and the functions of government to their own evil, you know, means or evil outcomes. And that's what we really, really need to be careful of. So if you could tell our listeners, I mean, you've given us a very good picture of the process and the dangers and that kind of stuff. But is this, are these pieces of legislation going to be acted on in this session? Are they going to go before a certain committee where people can follow the process and provide testimony and show opposition, organized opposition to this, you know, this power grab, as you refer to it? And, you know, what's the process for people following this through the legislative, you know, whatever you want to call it, the convoluted way that laws are passed in Massachusetts?
Right. So I will say there's probably two ways to follow along. So the first is, if you go to malegislature.gov, you can create an account. It is free. It is simple. And you can click on any bill And you can follow all steps of that bill. You will get email alerts anytime it moves, it changes. So again, this bill is HD 4745. And if you go to that website, you can very easily sign up to get alerts. But I will say, you may also write to me. I do have a regular newsletter where I try to update constituents about all of my legislation and what's going on with that. But we also have a system where if you tell me I am interested in this bill, please send me updates about it. We will let you know as it moves through the process as well. We do sort of a, you know, a little group email blast, and we'll just say bill needs testimony and this is the information. And then if you need help writing testimony, if you want to testify in person or virtually, we can guide you through that process as well. So it's just a tiny bit more hands-on, but if you feel confident about writing testimony, following along, all you have to do is go to the malegislature.gov website and you can do it that way. So the bill right now is still, it was a late file bill, and it was a late file because, quite honestly, at the start of the session, I was thinking about a lot of things. The new president had not been sworn in yet, and we knew things would be hard, but I don't think we quite grasped the full extent of how horrendously authoritarian his second term would be. So this was something that I started to learn more about and to research as months went on. And so we filed this late. So it is still a new file bill. It's with rules. We'll be moving it forward. We'll go to its next committee. So again, signing up either through me or through the website will give you all the latest. But it's still early enough in the process where folks can very easily participate and I think create the sort of the buzz that's needed around it. Because again, we would not be the first state to do this, but we, I think, need to start creating that avalanche of states moving in this direction. You know, I think just as an important thing to add, and this might be useful if people want to testify, you know, Article 5 doesn't even say who would be at this convention. States don't necessarily have to appoint elected officials. They could appoint just about anybody. And it actually doesn't even say that states are the ones that do the appointing. They could call for it, but maybe the president will decide who from each state could be the person at the convention. There's so much, I think, at this moment that is really, really dangerous. It is not my goal to scare people. I have hope that we will get through all of this and that we will make this a much better political government and world after this nightmare of a regime in Washington. But I do want people to understand that this could potentially be very bad. And if we take action now, we can prevent that.
Right. So, Lindsay, clarification, HD 4745, your bill isn't in committee yet, right?
Do you have it's in the rules committee because it was a late file. So it will then go from rules to another committees.
Okay. And when do you think there'll be a hearing?
So every bill gets a hearing, and in the House, we are working really hard to get all of our hearings done this year. So the hearing will definitely be this fall.
Great.
So people have time, and we can certainly help them prep and figure out how to participate and engage.
All right. And so people can find you on the MA Legislature website by searching for you as representative or by their town.
They can, or they can also, you know, just email me. It's my first name dot last name at mahouse.gov. But they can find that information online. I have a website, it's lindsaysabadosa.com. And if you just click, you send an email. And I will say, I read my own emails, so they come directly to me. They're not being vetted or read by anybody else. So, you know, if you just say, hey, I heard this radio segment, this was confusing, clarify, tell me how to do this, I will respond and make sure that that people are on the right path.
Lindsay, how many states in the union have voted for this convention?
Oh, there are so, I don't have the exact number, but it is actually over 30 that have some form of an application. And of course, it only takes two-thirds of the states to call this a convention, which is why us repealing ours is so critical. We don't have a current application in. There's, I think, lots of legal questions about what does it mean to have old applications? Would they count? But again, we're not in a normal moment. I mean, I don't know about you, but I read the newspaper and it talks about things that are happening. And the last line is legal scholars and constitutional experts all agree that this is illegal. And yet it doesn't matter. It's still happening. And so I think that's why even these old applications need to be revoked. What we don't have yet is two-thirds of the state having an application for the same on the same topic. And I think that is a bit of a saving grace. There's applications again on so many different issues, but not all on the same topic. But there's very much a concerted effort in red states particularly to put in these applications. And as I think you know, the number of Democratic trifectas is very small, and the number of states where something like this could pass does seem to be dangerously close to the two-thirds needed. So we have to be particularly vigilant.
Yeah, this reminds me of the fake electors whole thing that happened during the previous election, where, all these fake slates of electors were rounded up by a bunch of attorneys working for his malignancy, basically. And, no one has been held accountable. Pretty much no one has been held accountable for that, especially the people at the top, although a bunch of those lawyers have been disbarred and other things. But this is another end run around democracy. And I'm very concerned hearing what you're saying. And I support this legislation. I think we really do need to make sure that everything has the level of protection from the abuse, the widespread abuse that is going on. And like you said, this is part of the game plan and it requires resistance. So I'm glad, Rep. Sabatosa, that you're out front leading the resistance on this issue.
Thank you. And I'm glad that you reached out and I was able to share this with your listeners because I do think more people need to hear it.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Again, thanks for being on the Enviro Show. And, this isn't specifically an environmental issue, but then again, there are so many parts of the current administration dismantling the EPA and all the other agencies that do protect public health and the environment that right now everything is related to protecting, protecting the earth, protecting the environment. And something like this could be devastating for all of those things. So, yeah, it requires eternal vigilance to protect what we have. And we all need to be getting together, working on this, and really paying attention to what's going on. So, thanks again.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate both of you.
Well, that was excellent and a little scary. But yeah, Lindsay Sabatosa is like, she's the most responsive rep that I've ever experienced here in Massachusetts. And I'm not even in her district, and yet she usually returns any message I send to her within 24 hours or so.
Yeah, she said she personally responds or reads every email that she gets.
Right.
So, that's pretty unusual.
So I think that's about it, except to remember to listen to your mother. This is Dio saying adios.
And I'm unconventional, Glenn Ayers. And remember, folks, there's so many ways to get involved and get active and make a difference. So get together with other people. And, work to save nature and the climate. You got to do it. It's time. It's time for all of us to rise up. So take care.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.